Hello, listeners. Welcome to our summer series spectacular. If you're fans of any of these podcasts, then you know we've been releasing some special episodes over on our Patreon. And unfortunately, we have not gotten the response that we had hoped. So we have discontinued our Patreons for now, but would like these episodes to be enjoyed by a larger audience. I want to start by apologizing to the people who did pay a few dollars to get these exclusive episodes when they were exclusive. Your generosity and support is still very appreciated, and hopefully in the future we will offer some more exclusive episodes over there and see if we can't get a few more supporters to join you over on that special feed. But until then, we're going to be releasing these special episodes right here, right now, and all summer long. On the Time Pop feed, we have some what we call time travel-ish movies. Things that are kind of, you know, maybe time-altering, mind-bending, reality-fuckery kinds of movies that I think you will enjoy on this main feed, even if they don't fall directly into our time travel purview. I may or may not have used that word properly. Whatever. For our Thank the Light audience, because there's only so much Wheel of Time content out there. Over there on the Patreon, we were experimenting with some other fantasy movies. So hopefully you're just a fan of Justin, Jeremy, and Desmond talking about stuff. So we're going to have some fantasy film discussions on the Thank the Light feed. And on the Movies R Us feed, apologies. We're going to take a little bit of a break from official Movies R Us releases just because we got really busy. You know, we knew this summer was going to be a little bit busy. We were doing our best to get caught up. And Desmond is moving. Justin is probably going to be moving. And Jeremy doesn't want to do the podcast by himself. So we're going to, again, hopefully you're just fans of us and what we talk about. And even if it is not an official toy-related product, hopefully you will enjoy us talking about some fantasy movies over there as well, just because our voices are beautiful. I hope you enjoy these special episodes. If you're only subscribing to Time Pop, why don't you subscribe to Movies R Us and or Thank the Light so you can get some other exclusive movie content. If you just like to hear us talking about films, it's going to be a great summer. We will definitely be back with new content. We have some very exciting things we're going to put into motion for Thank the Light. Movies R Us is just going to be back in full effect later this summer. We're liking what we're doing over there. We have a lot of fun movies to talk about. And if you're a Time Pop fan and you like listening to Scott and I just talk about weird, mind-bending movies, let us know at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're enjoying this, us expanding our definition of Time Pop movies, and we may put more of these types of movies on this feed in the future. If you're a Movies R Us fan, just let us know when we get back to our official Movies R Us. Let us know some movies you want us to move to the top of our list. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. And if you're a Thank the Light fan, Wheel of Time fan, as you know, the show is getting put off. So we're trying to figure out the best way to discuss the books. Again, we've got some exciting things that we're going to do there to try to hype up those book discussions as we wait for more Wheel of Time episodes to get back to Amazon Prime. And if you enjoy listening to us talk about fantasy movies, maybe we can squeeze one of these in here and there just to spice it up as we wait for Rafe Judikins to get those episodes out to us. And whatever feed you're listening to, send us a message. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, because these shows are nothing without you. So if, you know, we're not going to listen to all your suggestions, but if you want to sheepdog us in a direction that makes us more fun to listen to and maybe bring more people into the fold, we would love to hear from you. ThankTheLight@gmail.com, TimePopPod@gmail.com, MoviesRUsPod@gmail.com. That is movies, the letter R, us, pod@gmail.com. Enjoy.
That's so funny.
Buttfuckers is funny.
Yeah, buttfuckers is funny. By the way, is this a time travel review or is this the other thing?
Patreon.com/timepop.
It's debatable to be time travel.
Well, we've been debating it a long time, and that's why we have Patreon, so we can say, you know what?
Fuck you, everybody.
You know all of those angry letters we get every week, Scott, about people complaining about our movies maybe or may not be time travel. This is our way around it.
So many.
It's not time travel. It's froze. Yeah. Don't worry. We're going to do Demolition Man next. Like, just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Holy shit. We still haven't figured out how to start these episodes yet.
We haven't? Oh.
Yeah. This is an alternate universe.
Ooh. Altered states. Different forms of existence.
Kind of time travel.
Kind of time travel.
That's right. See, Scott, you reminded.
Discuss.
You reminded me. We did figure out how to start these episodes with the beatbox. with a double dose of.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Oh, there we go. Hold on. Let me start these right. Since I've already like almost given up on remembering the facts. For our Tide Pop episodes, I'm trying to double down on our 2006. No, 2006. That's not right. It was 2004.
That's right. Oh yeah. Oh.
Really? Idiocracy. 2006. Rated R. 84 minutes. Oh yeah.
Desmond's happy.
Directed by Mike. Directed by Mike Judge. Starring Dax Shepard, Luke Wilson, Maya Rudolph, Terry Crews. Oh, so many great people.
A little Justin Long goes a long way.
Oh, yeah, totally. he's such a great addition. And this reminds me, talking about Mike Judge, eventually, it's not awesome. I mean, it's not time travel heavy, but, you know, we've done lesser time travel movies like Idiocracy. We're going to have to do Beavis and Butthead do time travel eventually.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, it's coming.
It's on the list, people.
It's coming, just like your scorching case of gonorrhea. It's all coming. It's all coming down the pike.
Ow, ow.
Oh, see, there it is.
Ow, hurts so bad.
Thomas Hayden Church, we even had made a little appearance. Exciting.
Where was he?
He was the owner of Brondo.
Oh, yeah. The Sandman himself.
Mr. Sideways wine drinking guy.
This is fun fact time. This is the first movie I ever purchased on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
10, 12 years. You know, when everything was, when streaming was really taken off and you could find everything, but then all of a sudden you'd couldn't find something, and one day I was like, oh, I want to watch Idiocracy because it's 2015 and you can watch anything, and I couldn't find it, so I was like, all right, I'm throwing down hard-earned bucks.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah, it is.
I'm trying to remember I think the first digital purchase I did was the Star Wars collection. Boring.
Oh my god,
boring. Anybody could do that. Not anybody could buy Idiocracy.
You probably still have, even though you have nothing to play it on, you probably still have a Blu-ray collection of the Star Wars
Legends. I do. I think I might have given that to you. I don't know. Where is that? So this film is interesting. This film is theoretically our Patreon alternate universes, but this is like maybe arguably time travel.
It's
maybe sort of.
Like I said, it's kind of Patreon is time travel adjacent.
Adjacent, yeah.
And I think all alternate universes have you can always theoretically imagine that it's, you don't show up the same minute you leave.
we ask the question, does the frozen person that comes back in the future, is that time travel? Is it someone who is now in the future that they should not exist in?
That's the key.
Is that sort of a form of time travel? Maybe it is. And if that's the case, is Captain America a time travel film?
Oh.
Oh.
Well, see, now here's the key with Captain America. Oh, no, because he does age.
Yes.
Because I was going to say Captain America.
He does.
So I was thinking, like, in theory, Captain America would have lived to 2016 anyways.
But he would have been.
But he actually probably wouldn't have.
Not as a young, Agent Carter did, right? But not as a young dude.
Yeah.
Not as a guy who's like 18 or whatever, 21 ever old, and then he's in a far-flung future. So this goes down a whole rabbit hole. Then you go, is Alien a time travel film? This could be our whole Patreon. This could be all Frozen time travelers.
Wow. Because I know always think of Idiocracy and Demolition Man, and then I can't think of any more. But yeah, fucking Ripley goes deep.
Ripley goes deep.
She goes not quite as far as Idiocracy, but farther than Demolition Man.
Yeah, there's a few more Frozen in time films.
We're
right?
already beyond the Demolition Man future, I think, aren't we? Wasn't that like 2018 or something like that?
I would like to see that again. I remember that film being the most glass breaking per capita in a film. Just walls and glass everywhere to the point where you're just like, oh my God. Superman maybe rivals that, the one with Henry Cavill where buildings just crumble all over the place. But
Demolition Man : Defenestration 2.
The most things demolished on a film set.
So I think I'm Joe Bauer. So for everyone out there, the reason I know Scott, the reason I crossed his path is because I didn't want to lead. And I was like going into job interview after job interview. And I literally, like, Kelly and I were just laughing about it the other night. Like there was a couple of kitchens where I think the reason I didn't get the job is because I didn't want to be head chef someday. I was just like, they're like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I like prep cooking. I'd like to be your prep cook. Well, and then what? Then I'd like to be a really good prep cook. And they're just like, okay, bye. And so when I found the Craigslist for Feet First, where Scott works, and they actually had in the job description, we need number twos. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And the hilarious postscript of that story is I ended up working at Feet First a long time, and I ended up leading because I got good at it, and it wasn't a big deal, and I led, and I had a lot of fun. And
we could never tell if you wanted to lead, if it was reluctant, or if you kind of enjoyed it or not. I think we'll never know. I don't know if you know.
I liked it, but I never got to your level where you're just like, I'll figure it out tomorrow. Like I DJ'd at least a dozen events. Every time I DJ'd, I would set up the entire system in my living room the day before.
I made lists when I first DJ'd. I did lists of like rock blocks of songs to have as ideas when I first, until I got good enough and I didn't have to think about it. But I started that way.
And what did we use to DJ with, Scott?
Mini discs.
Speaking of time travel, wow, Whiplash, 1999, mini discs.
Jesus.
So great. So yeah, so I am the average Joe of this movie.
Okay.
And I hope that someday I will get, you know, the UN will notice my normality and freeze me to see what the average person does when they time travel through the icy deep.
Yeah, this is a fascinating film, right? Because it borders on really interesting, intelligent satire and parody and like examining a lot about our world. And it's also because of the content, it's just goofy and dumb as fuck. Like, so weird that it exists on both of those levels, right?
It's very, like, this, I didn't realize until last night, like, right down to, I need to look it up and see who does the opening monologue. It might be the same guy. And as far as, like, comedy clashing in a good way, this is on par with Basketball. And they spend like the first, you know, they spend the first 5 minutes with the monologue. Like in Basketball, they're making fun of sports and how sports is going the wrong way. And then this one just makes fun of humanity and how humanity in general is going the wrong way. And this movie is so, this movie's fucking great. Like, let's just, I mean, this movie is a straight up midnight. Like, I'm gonna rate this movie a little bit too high, and I don't care. It won't be midnight, but just as a fun to watch, hilarious, kind of saying something. You know, they talk about time travel. You know, we can talk about whether or not freezing is time travel, but then they spend the whole movie looking for a time machine, which ends up being a big joke. But
it this movie is kind of in my brain with WALL-E as like two really interesting, maybe the most realistic portrayals of like the real future. You know, and WALL-E, they're all like really overweight and they're in like the little speedsters and they don't do anything for themselves, people in the future. We always, you know, you go to Disney World and they show you the future is so optimistic and what man, you feel like really optimistic about mankind. That's the only place of what they've achieved and the future and all these possibilities. And then you see so many films where it's just this dark dystopian Blade Runner future. The cities are worse and seedy and ugly and the rich are richer and the poor are poorer. But, you know, and then the technology is magnificent and all this stuff. And then there's just two movies that are just like, humans are just going to get fatter, lazier, and dumber. And they're maybe not wrong.
That's the only thing we didn't see in this movie is how people are getting their exercise. How is the entire population not zipping around in Rascals? like Dax is, I mean, Dax is a beautiful, in-shape man. You know, he's a...
That's a good point. They should be fat. They would not exercise, these guys.
Yeah, because this doesn't, like, you know, so many futures have virtual reality, and you can imagine somehow how virtual reality, how you manage to get some kind of exercise by making your virtuality experience as real as possible. But this is just Dax Shepard sitting on a toilet eating human chow and baiting.
So did you read up on this film, by the way?
I did just a little bit. I'm curious to see what you dug up, and I'll
It's interesting. So, you know, I think the budget was like $2 million, and in the box office, it made like $400,000. It had really limited release. And like Terry Crews has been really outspoken about this, that Fox kind of did, and I think they even admitted to it. They put it out to the minimum number of theaters they were contracted to. They did not do a critic viewing. And they, most of the guessing is that they insult so many corporations, including Fox, actually.
Yeah.
That they were kind of like, Fox is like, we're going to insult all of our corporations and sponsors. And like, we're contracted, we're going to do the minimal. And I think they did no advertising, no promoting, put in the minimal number of theaters for the minimal amount of time.
Yeah, they weren't going to release it at all. And then Mike Judge was like, no. I got a contract here. And they were like, and then they just barely slipped over that contract bar. And then... Which is so weird because, like, did they just have so much faith in Mike Judge? They were just like, here's $2 million. We'll see you next
after time. Office Space. Yeah.
Why do you not read? Because this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such an. I mean, it makes it funnier that there's real corporations, but there's also a lot of fake corporations, and they could have just doubled down on the fake corporations.
Right.
And it would have
like, Brondo is not directly Gatorade or Powerade, right? It's indirect.
Yeah.
They could have done that, but they do, you know, buttfuckers and.
Starbucks.
What are they called?
Starbucks. I think if they change Starbucks, Costco, Fuddruckers, I think you're okay. Like
I don't know. It's spot on.
I guess
on.
In the Midwest. Yeah,
but Gatorade and Powerade, it's still direct enough. I mean, there are only, you know, one or two people doing that, but
that's true.
But it's so funny that like everything this movie is showing, Fox did that. It was afraid of corporations. It's a big corporation and it shut it down, which is everything, which makes everything he's saying that much more true. But he said, this will be big. This will be a cult film. And it was, and they made like, was it 9 million in rentals or something like that? Like they made.
Oh, awesome.
In rentals, they made it.
Well, I mean, yeah, in 2015, I gave them $10.
It was going to be 8,980,000, but now Desmond put it over the top.
That was one of the interesting things they showed us when I, you know, I went to nerd school. I went to audio school. So, of course, everyone there is making movies and making TV and making this and making that. And it was kind of interesting to see, like, the long tail that things have. Like, in the 70s, like, you put it out in the theater and that's it. You're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if it was a big enough movie, it might come back to the theater for a weekend next year. But, like, whatever you made, you're done. And now there's that long tail of like, you know, every once in a while, someone just, you know, throws 10 bucks at Idiocracy because you're like, ooh, I haven't seen that in a while. I'm going to rent that. And then like I remember listening to this, this one guy, Hot Carl. if anyone out there hasn't listened to Hot Carl, like you need to listen to the book. I would listen to it even more than read it, but check out the book. Kanye West Owes Me $300. It's an amazing story. And so, yeah, he was a rapper that he was actually really good, but they kind of did him dirty too. Like they gave him a bunch of money to make this amazing album with a bunch of amazing producers. And then when he finished it, they were just like, yeah, we're not going to release that. But like, you know, he's like, you know, but my songs popped up in a couple of movies and I'll get a check for $3.12 every once in a while because they're playing some movie on TBS that month that has my song in it.
Wow.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, everyone out there, thank you for your $3. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/timepop.
Do you want to, do the synopsis of this film in a sentence or two? It's pretty easy, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Do it, Scott.
You want to break it down? You want me to break it down? Okay.
I'm going to grab my... Oh, shit. I forgot my notebook inside. You just start telling... You start telling him the story, and I'll jump in and ruin it.
Sit back here. all right, folks. Let's take you to a time. A time where a man is in the military and is the most average guy. They say, actually, on the charts, he is literally in the middle and average. The most average human ever. He's got a desk job where he does nothing all day. He never wants to get promoted. He's very happy with that. But they pull him out for a promotion. They want to experiment with freezing people. So they have this guy to freeze. They couldn't find a suitable female mate. So they end up getting a prostitute. But I think in order to get the prostitute, the guy in charge of the operation gets lost in the world of pimping. And in his live show, he's hanging
Scott's
with the pimp.
Scott's like, we can do this in 2 minutes. I come back. Scott isn't even 2 minutes into the movie yet.
No, I'm in pimp land. Upgrade, spelled incorrectly, is the pimp. Anyway, he makes a deal with Upgrade that he could have her for a year for this experiment. But he really gets caught up in the world of pimping.
A pimp's love is different from that of a square.
So these two get frozen in this experiment. They're supposed to wake them up in a year, I believe, right?
And this is a military process. What they want to do is test it on these guys so they can then freeze all of their best soldiers and thaw them out whenever there's a war.
Yeah, when they're needed. Yeah. Anyway, they're frozen, but after they're frozen, it's discovered that the guy running this has his own prostitution ring. And so this thing was so top secret, he gets sent to jail and no one knows about them. And so they're just, for generations, they're just frozen in hibernation for 500 years. In the 500 years, they show that evolution favored the that smart people were waiting until it was right to have children. And, they're showing kind of some rednecks, I guess, of like just accidentally having kids.
White trash.
Accidentally having kids. And that's what, you show this fast forward 500 years, the unintelligent survive and the intelligent die off. And so
you
in 500 years.
Everyone out there, if you wait for the right time to have a kid, you'll never have a kid.
Right.
Hey, I hate to tell you, all the children out there, you were all fucking accidents. I'm not saying your parents didn't want you, but when your mom got pregnant, oops.
They're all champions. They all beat out millions of sperms. Everyone alive is a champ. You're an Olympic level race winner.
Yeah, like I can't even put that sentence together. Never mind.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah.
They show, anyway, in the future, people are really dumb. Everything's sponsored by corporations.
Even their names, even everyone's name.
And they just put the garbage in a giant pile. And one day the pile gets so big that it collapses and it sends the two frozen hibernation units down and opens them up. Oh, it sends them into like a building and they open up. And here they are 500 years in the future.
And Average Joe lands right in Dax Shepard's. What's his name in the movie?
Oh, it's like Frito something.
Frito, yeah. Frito lands right in Frito's living room, and he gets mad because he's watching Ow My Balls on his Lazy Boy / toilet / camel pack /
And everyone only wears like jerseys in the future. Shiny material like sports jerseys, and they usually represent brand names.
A lot of them. Most of them are like Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Gobbledygook of a bunch of.
And they're dumbified to a pretty high level, so much so that the way our hero speaks, they think is
effeminate is how they put it.
Yeah, it's almost a different language.
Yeah. Every time he tries to. Yeah, it's what they say. It's a mix between Valley Girl, slang, and surfer or something like that. And the best part, I love when he goes to the doctor to get checked out, when they find it, check him. The doctor hands him these three rods and says, here, put this in your mouth, put this in your ear, and put this in your butt. and then goes, oh, shoot, wait, let me see those again. And then mixes them all, touches them all together, rubs them all in one big pile and goes, no, wait, this one's for your mouth.
Oh. And then he goes to rinse it out and the water fountains all have like green Gatorade called Brondo.
Brondo, because
no one drinks water because it's got electrolytes.
It's what your body craves.
Brondo apparently has bought everything. They bought the FCC. They bought every major food drug administration.
Oh, and mostly they bought the FDA.
FDA, the FCC, they bought all of them.
So no one can tell them to stop because they own it all.
Yeah, the FDA, FCC, and the USDA.
And you can get, I kind of like this future because I want to go to Starbucks for a hot latte.
Oh, yeah. They give hand jobs at Starbucks. So he gets printed on his arm because he doesn't have one. And they've given him a barcode with his name. They ask. He says, not sure. It's a whole big confusing thing. And so that's his name. His name is Not Sure. He gets arrested.
Then he gets arrested. Yeah, I don't remember.
Right, because he didn't pay for the hospital stay.
That's right.
But then he escapes arrest because he told them that he's actually supposed to leave. And they're like, oh, okay.
First, they test him. They make him take an intelligence test to see what job he'll have while he's on the inside.
Right.
And so he takes that test and then, yeah, so he's like, he uses his intelligence to leave. He just basically gets in the other line and says, I'm supposed to be in the line to leave. And they're like, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Go over there.
He tries to find the guy again and asks if there's a time machine. He's like, in the future, there must be a time machine. And the guy's like, there is. And so he's going to pay Frito to take him to the time machine.
Yeah, he says, tells Frito, I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to put some money in a bank account and then you'll be a billionaire.
Yeah.
Because Frito likes money.
Yeah. And they go to Costco because Costco is like miles and miles big and most things are in Costco.
Costco is the size. It's bigger than the city I grew up in. Like Costco is, there's a train inside Costco. There's a university inside Costco. Frito became a lawyer by going to Costco University.
And during this, Maya Rudolph also woke up and she's like getting money because she doesn't have to actually sleep with people. She's just like promising to, and they're so dumb that she just gets money by keep promising. Anyway, he gets caught again at Costco.
So they're in, this is kind of interesting. So just to stay on topic for this podcast. So they are, Rita, I think she just runs. I don't know if she runs off or if she gets, no, she just runs off. And then they're trying to, she's going to the bathroom. And then Joe is like, I got to get on the train so I can get to the time machine. Oh, wait, if I go to the time machine, then I can tell Rita not to be frozen and then she'll never be here. No, wait. I can go back in time and I can tell Frida. And he's like doing all this time travel logic, which is kind of interesting. Again, there's, you know, through a lot of this movie, you think time travel is actually going to come into play. And so I love that they spend, you know, two whole minutes trying to suss out. He's doing it right now. Here's what we do. We go to the time machine. When we go back to the past, I tell her not to do the experiment. Then she won't even be here. That'll work, right? No, wait. She already is here. That must mean I didn't go back in time, right? No, wait. Hold on. It just means I haven't done it yet. Okay, so I'll go back and tell her not to do the experiment. Then I won't have to do it either because she won't be here. Then I won't have to come back and save her, right? But then wait, why am I still here? God damn it. How does time travel work?
That was fun. We had a time travel bit.
I'm so glad I didn't even like fast forward or rewind it. I just looked up and we were there.
That's great. Yeah, that's actually pretty thoughtful time travel.
Very much so. I do like the next to Starbucks, there's a chicken place that has a bucket of wings with a full release. So great.
That's good stuff. So he ends up being in front of like a judge and jury, but the president, really.
Yeah, well, he gets arrested again, but now that the news has gotten to the president about his test scores, they don't take him to jail. They take him to the White House, where Terry Crews is living that life. Because now just the biggest and strongest, basically he got there by wrestling. So like, didn't he just beat everyone up, basically?
Yeah, I think so. And he's also very entertaining.
And he's very, he drinks beer and drives a hot rod. And the Secretary of the Interior got there by winning a contest. They're all just, you know, Terry Crews' friends, just like, you know, any real president. You just get your buddies in there. And they're trying to figure out how to fix the economy.
Right. Yeah. Some of the off-spelling is my favorite. Anyway, he figures out he's going to help their. They have a crop issue, and he goes to investigate the crops, and they're being watered with green Brondo because they don't use water. They just think water's for toilets.
Yeah, and Brondo they've basically outlawed. Yeah, it's for they've outlawed water except for toilets. So every time, Joe asks for a glass of water or to use some water, everyone goes, "You mean like in the toilet?"
So that's his thing. He has like a week to do it, or else he's going to get his ass whooped. So he starts, saying intelligent things. Oh, and we have our appearance from our Michael Bolton friend is in this film, right? That's exciting.
Which one is he?
Cabinet. He's one of the guys in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Not a big role for him.
But he's around a lot. We get to see plenty of him.
Yeah, good to see his face.
Have we put your video up? Have we tagged it for this podcast yet?
What video?
The toaster oven video.
I put it up, not in my own thing, not for this.
Okay, so everyone, keep your eye out on the Time Pop social media. I will be putting up our shot for shot remake of the fax machine scene in Office Space. Enjoy it. It's amazing. Go check it out. Now it's there. If you're listening to this, it's there. Go find it. Hashtag what's the hashtag, Scott?
Hashtag is Toaster beat down.
There we
go. Office Space toaster beat down. Toaster beat down.
Hashtag toaster beat down. Go find it.
Cause already searching that.
Time_pop_pod. Hashtag toaster beat down.
Yes, we did it. He in the week, there's been a lot of poisoning in the ground. The plants have not come up yet. And because they stopped using Brondo, all their stock went down to zero and everyone lost their jobs and they don't understand. And they all blame him. So he's sent to one night through court. He's sent to court and one night of rehabilitation. And he's like, that doesn't sound so bad. But one night rehabilitation is essentially like American Gladiators trying to destroy you with trucks on Fox.
The Running Man Arena.
Right. And so when they do Fox News, like they are making fun of Fox, which is.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a part of it. I don't know how that got made. I don't know how Fox did let that happen.
And it's so great. Fox News is, a gorgeous model and a beautiful shirtless hunk. Doing the news. I'd watch that news program for both of them. It was very nice. And they're talking about the economy as well.
Yep.
And so, so the rehabilitation is bad news. The dildozer is there.
Dildozer.
So it's a couple of months. They give it. So this big monster truck comes out for a big, like a big reveal. Dildozer. Everyone knows it. They're excited about it. Joe is like, awesome. So I'm going to get a vehicle too. They're like, oh yeah, sure. So he gets a little Datsun, but because he escaped from jail last time, they have him chained to a rock. So instead of unchaining him from the rock, they throw, and this boulder is, it's Matt. It's 24 feet around. This is not a rock. It's half a mountain. So they throw that in the back of his Celica. So he's not going to be driving around very fast while these two monster trucks try to kill him. The kind of good news is that the super big ass dozer, is it ass dozer?
Yeah.
Ass dozer. Yeah. The ass dozer is too big to get into the arena because they were too dumb to realize that they had to make it at least smaller than the door. So that keeps Joe from getting squashed immediately. And then he uses his intellect. He speeds his car one way. The two monster trucks go to smash him. He hits the brakes. The two monster trucks smash into each other and explode. And then, oh my God, the jet skiing in the reflection pool makes me so happy. So beautiful.
Anyway, during this time, Maya Rudolph, he tells her to go just find the time machine by herself. They haven't been able to find it, but she tries to save him. So she has Dax Shepard and camera guy go out and try to show that the plants are actually growing now to show everybody. They forget because they're dumb, but at the last second they show it. Everyone in the arena sees at the last second, Terry Crews saves him and says, his ass is pardoned.
Hell yeah.
Maya Rudolph says she's going to stay and they offer him vice presidency and he's reluctant to, but then he looks around and they talk him into it. And shortly after that, they realize that the time machine is just a ride And it was never a real time machine?
Time. M-A-S-H-E-N.
Time machine.
E-N. Time machine. Which is hilarious because that's how Frito spells it at one point. And you think Frito is just dumb, which Frito is dumb. But he's spelling time machine the way it's supposed to be spelled in accordance with this ride.
Right. And he's like, they're like, why'd you tell us it could work? He's like, you thought you could travel in time. For a smart guy, you're pretty dumb.
You're pretty stupid.
Pretty stupid.
Oh, my balls. And then they go to so near the time machine, they have, so the time machine ride is great. They have, it takes you through a journey through time. Like when Charlie Chaplin killed all the Jews.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin's leader of the Nazis, and then two dinosaurs are fighting as the Nazis and the Americans. Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff.
Oh, that was so great.
So then, yeah, our heroes, he becomes president. She's the first lady. They have three of the most intelligent children. Dax Shepard has eight wives and has like 32 of the most unintelligent children. Des, I don't think I ever saw the ending after the credits before.
Neither have I. Holy shit. I was just going to say that. I've never seen the stinger before.
Yeah.
Because this is before you were like, it was guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know. So the stinger is just is upgrade coming to the future
to get his money.
Get his money. And you know what's cool about that stinger, though, too, is he's walking through a starting to be cleaned up city.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
So not only is it just hilarious, is it just silly because the pimp is coming to get his money, but you see that there's good happening in the future. And
it's positive.
Yeah. God, I love the little dildo on the the front of Luke Wilson's car. I forget that he's got, because they got the dildozer, and then he's got on his Toyota Celica, he's just got a big purple dildo flopping around. I love that look on his face too. He has such a just like, oh my God, look on his face. He's sitting in his little dildo car looking up at these fucking tanks about to kill him. He's just like, I can't believe this is how it ends.
Glorious.
Oh my God. This movie just,
it's a fine, yeah.
This, you know why I have the best life, Scott?
Because you get to talk about movies like this all day?
In the last 20...
Because you get to see me?
Oh my God, all of the above. But like, just to double down, not only did I have to watch Idiocracy and talk to you about it, but I also get to talk about tonight and had to watch The Beastmaster today. Oh my God. Idiocracy and The Beastmaster in the 24-hour period?
And Beastmaster, it's not as good. Didn't we watch it together a few years ago? We did. I think as
we watched Kroll.
I know we watched that too. I thought we did Beastmaster one night also.
I don't think so.
It's not as good as we remember it. Yes.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And there's like, it's one of those movies too where it's like, there's an interesting idea in there. And how did you shit the bed so bad? Like, yeah. Anyways, check out our patreon.com/thankthelight if you want to listen to us talk about Beastmaster next month as well. But for right now, Idiocracy. This movie just,
I like this sentence from Wikipedia. It touches on issues including anti-intellectualism, capitalism, commercialism, consumerism, corporocracy, dysgenics, and overpopulation.
Jesus.
Like, it's for like a pretty doofy fart film, it's pretty impressive.
Like, is this just us because we grew up with Beavis and Butthead, and so the Beavis and Butthead guy made a movie, and so it just clicks with us? Like, this movie is,
I mean,
so stupid. Why do we like,
to me, this movie is flawed though. Like, I like it. The beginning is better. There is a point where like it becomes what it's making fun of. Like, it's so dumb because the people are that at some point you're like, I'm just like, not a lot happens. The second half, especially, like once, I don't know, he's meeting up with Terry Crews, it kind of like, it's almost like Office Space. Office Space, I love it. But there is a point in the film about like from the half to the three quarters that like it slows down when you watch it. Like, oh yeah, it does slow down. He kind of comes back to himself. And when they try to do the heist, I don't know. Anyway, this film, it's flawed. It is not perfect. For me, the idea is great. I mean, I don't know. On some level, Luke Wilson is like the perfect casting for it, but he's also not like very dynamic, and he's not supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
This is his character. This is who he is in Bottle Rocket. He's just the guy that like things happen to and he shows nothing.
He's totally a an Avatar actor.
Uh-huh.
Like he's just like,
this was right in his wheelhouse.
He's average Joe. He's taking your place in this movie. Yeah, it definitely and this is where, like, you know, thank fucking God that why do I always forget his fucking name? The guy who did 40-Year-Old Virgin and
Steve Carell?
No, the guy.
Oh, you mean the the director?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's coming.
If this movie comes out 5 years later, they tell him if it's not 2 hours, don't bother. And then this movie becomes a real piece of shit. Like,
is there like an extended version of this anywhere?
I don't think so. I think 84 minutes is perfect.
Judd Apatow. Judd Apatow.
I love Judd Apatow. I think he's got some funny stuff, but at some point, it's kind of like a Marvel movie. Like every fucking Judd Apatow movie had to be 10 minutes longer than the last one. And it's just like, no, fucking, you know, make me laugh for 90 minutes and then get out. And that's where I think this one's, you're right. It does get, but at 80 minutes, it doesn't have a ton of time to really drag and really try, at least for me. I don't know. You had to kind of like almost, you kind
of. There's just so much of the dumb joke, like watching his cabinet be like it's making fun of it. But you are watching that like just repeatedly for like a long time where you're kind of, you know, I get the joke.
Are you like, if you get to enjoy this movie on an airplane instead of kind of speed watch it before we record, is it?
What are you saying? Oh, is it better?
I'm just wondering if part of it is you're just like,
no.
I like this movie, but I also have to get to the end of it before I record today.
I always watch this film when the beginning starts and I'm like, oh God, this is great. This is genius. And then like, I'm halfway through and it's like, okay, yeah. I might be falling asleep for a little bit. You know, it has that. So it's not as high for me, but of course it's not the first film that I ever bought. This is a Desmond connect with the character.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And yeah, before you ask, would I want to time travel to this future? No, thank you.
Oh, come on, Scott. You're the smartest man in the world.
Oh.
And you don't even have to try or learn anything.
I always take this so seriously. I'm always assuming I have friends and family here. Yes. If I'm maybe like I'm a hermit that has nothing to live for. Sure. No job that I'm interested in. No people around me. But I don't see that being a thing.
Scott's just like this.
I take it too realistic. I take it too real.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Scott Lifton with two kids and an awesome girlfriend, like, yeah, no, you're not going anywhere. So yeah, you have to step outside of that, to imagine that you would time travel at all for any reason, but you're just because you're not saving now doesn't mean you aren't saving the world. Like your need to time travel is still a big deal.
This is great for you. You go there, you're eating nothing but like nachos and potato chips and tater tots and that for you, and Gatorade and Dr. Pepper. It's perfect.
For those of you that don't know, I actually eat fairly well, but whenever I go to Scott's house, it's movie night and the kids aren't there. And
that's his vice.
And so, yeah, it's fucking donuts and chicken wings.
Yeah. Next one we do, we're going big. Oh, yeah. We're going to have some crispy, crunchy chicken next time.
Oh, here we go. Here's a great review. I love the actors, which is why I bought it outright, having never seen it. And I
sincerely, Desmond McNeese.
And I enjoy some goofy movies, but this one was just not for me.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
Ooh, people keep referring to the movie's opening, which was pretty hilarious, but it all turns to poop after that. Too silly for my taste.
That's kind of what I said, huh?
It is.
All right.
Yeah. Does it turn to poop though, Scott, or just a nasty fart?
It turns into maybe a little bit of a shart. Maybe like a fart, a little bit comes out, but not like it's the shart that's not the the poo doesn't come out. You ever like shart and just like a little bit of butt liquid? Butts.
It's just wet. It's just moist. Yeah. It's not actual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we call that? It's a pre-shart. It's a shart pre-shart.
I call that a shank.
It's a shank shart.
Okay. I don't even know where this is going, but this is a half a star. So I'm just going to start reading it. So, just like that other guy, he bought this movie sight unseen. I'm going to read this review sight unseen. A seedy, greasy, idiotic movie indeed. in which stupidity, seediness, fart jokes, corporate brainwashing, prostitution, and misogynation. M-I-S-C? Is this just a...
M-I-S-C? I think they spelled it wrong.
Okay, that makes sense. But even misogynation are more normalized than sources for any objection. An uninspiring, stale, and valueless movie aiding and abetting the stupidity with which it pretends to disagree. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, did you tell everyone about the number one movie in this future?
Oh, yeah. Ass.
In which, yes. It is just night.
I like at the end, he learns to talk to them, like in their language, right? He's like, and there were movies, they had stories. And then when people farted and you knew why, and they're like, yeah.
Here's my last review. 1 star. They sure don't make them like they used to.
I guess not referring to that one.
Oh, they don't make them like this anymore. Because again, if anyone made this movie now, the studio would be like, eh, it's all right. But like, Can you get another half hour? Like if people are gonna pay for it, we're gonna have to make it even longer and duller and unnecessary than before. So,
do we call it time travel or not?
Well, and I just want to finish answering the question.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know in general that I like if it's like I mean, and we're talking about time travel. So what am I talking about? Proven technology. I would be much too afraid that if I was frozen, I would be forgotten or thought out inappropriately or not thought out at the right time. Or like if my time travel is going to go wrong, I want to know instantaneously that I'm vaporized or I'm in the wrong time or that I need to fix something. And just even though for you, it would be seeming, I mean, hopefully it would be instantaneous. That's something we'll dig into in Demolition Man. As far as the instantaneity of it, there's just something about knowing your body was just sitting there for 100 or 1,000 years. I mean, I do under the guise that like I'm gonna wake up in 500 years and be the smartest man alive. I kind of like that. I'm down.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
All right. Yeah,
I'm into that.
That'll be good for your self-esteem.
Yeah, I could make a movie about farting. That
ass.
It's kind of like, you know what? You remember when you first started watching Quentin Tarantino and like 40-year-olds were like, yeah, I've seen directors do this before. Like I lived through the 70s. Like this is nothing. He's not doing anything new. He's doing it really well, but like quit pretending like Quentin Tarantino discovered oxygen.
Right.
Is it time? It's got, if you are existing in a time that you shouldn't exist in, that's time travel. I'm just going to say it.
Right?
I'm just going to say it.
I should not be a 24-year-old and getting to see 500 years from now. I am a man out of time.
Yeah.
And the device, the time travel device, I mean, you're not doing anything unnatural with time, though. You're just sleeping. And it's a good debate for us. It's a good debate.
Because, I mean, it's almost...
the most realistic form of time travel, besides Interstellar, besides, like, you know, the going a place where the gravity changes time. So whether it's time travel, I guess that's a debate. It is a person out of time, of a time they should never see. However, they have not supernaturally or through wormholes or a device moved unnaturally throughout time. They've been in a state of suspended animation. They've just slept through it all.
Who's to say when you go through a black wormhole in Interstellar that you're not frozen for 100 years?
Wasn't there one of the time travel movies where it's like a one way and then they have to wait it out to get back to real time, like in a room or something? They sleep somewhere to like wait it out?
Primer, kind of.
Right.
Well, Primer, it's not exactly that. But yeah, there was some, however long you wanted to go back, you had to make sure the time machine was turned on for what you wanted to go back to.
Yeah.
So awesome, people. Please let us know if you think this is time travel at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. And oh yeah, I was looking for my outro, but I don't have an outro because I have nothing to sell you people because you already bought it. Thank you so much, you wonderful, beautiful patrons. Just tell somebody about us, especially if they already listened to the regular feed. Tell them there's more here. And it's fun. And I am going to continue to, we are going to try to add some people to these Patreons I have a Patreon going for this and my Thank the Light podcast, and I'm going to kind of start to mix and match just so we can, I think these discussions are generally a little bit more exciting when there's at least a third person. It doesn't matter who that third person is. They always find the gaps in what the two people that are already there are thinking of. And
got to find that gap.
Yeah. Yeah. Sew up those holes. So thank you so much, Scott.
Do we rate these?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do. What time is it, Scott?
Do you see all the scores I've given? Do you have a document that has that?
We forgot to rate something last time.
Did we rate it? Oh, because there was TV shows?
No, but we still rate. No, what did we forget to rate? Let me see. I got them right here.
Maybe we didn't rate shows. Maybe that makes sense.
No, anything that's a time travel tale, I think we...
I'm not sure what to rate this one. I think 6.3.
Oh, we didn't rate Loki. So we did rate, we rated South Park and Twilight Zone, and then we didn't rate Loki.
Have I given a 6.3 yet?
No.
What's the lowest score I've given so far?
Oh, no, you did. 6.30 for Totally Killer.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So this is a 6.10. This is 6.10. And I'm sorry. It's going just on the clever satire and the funny names, but it's not, I don't know. It doesn't have all of it for me.
Six.
I think you're about to give a much higher rating.
I, as you know, rewatchability is huge for me.
Yeah, I get it.
And this is very, I bought it because I wanted to rewatch it and I couldn't find any other way to get it. This is going to be my highest rated so far. And I keep forgetting, and we have this conversation every time. It's a 12-point system. I got to keep reminding myself that it's not a 10-point system.
Right.
I'm going to go 901, Scott.
Oh, my God.
901.
Oh, my God.
I am all about this movie.
What's your next highest rating after this one?
This is it. Oh, my next highest rating? Oh, I didn't realize this is kind of my thing. Twilight Zone replay got an 801.
Okay.
And your highest rated is South Park, so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my highest rating?
Well, we haven't done Loki. Do you want to do Loki right now?
Sure.
Do you have a minute? I know you got to go. Do you got to go?
I got to go in 2 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. What do you want to rate Loki?
Overall as a series. Oh, man. It's so time travel rich. What did I give South Park?
845.
Jeez. I got to give Loki more than that. 855 for Loki.
855.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Loki deserves a 9.
9 straight up?
9 straight up.
I'm going to do the same.
Oh!
I was literally just about ready to write 9 o'clock in mine when you said it. And yeah, because I'm going to put this is amazing. I would love to rate Loki higher, but it is not as, I will rewatch Idiocracy 10 times before I watch the entire Loki series.
It's also a series versus a film, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's apples and oranges, but if I use my rewatchability scale. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, have a great event, Scott. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
There was a time in America when contests of athletic prowess were a metaphor for the nobility of man. Historic moments forged by the love of the game celebrated the human potential to achieve excellence. But as time passed and the country neared the millennium, something went awry. The ideal of sportsmanship began to take a back seat to excessive celebration. The athletes caring less about executing the play than planning the vulgar grandstanding that inevitably followed even the most pedestrian of accomplishments. The games themselves became subordinate to the quest for money. Stadiums and arenas became nothing more than giant billboards to promote commercial products. Players sold their services to the highest bidder, much like the hired guns of the old West. Soon, it was commonplace for entire teams to change cities in search of greater profits. The Minneapolis Lakers moved to Los Angeles, where there are no lakes. The Oilers moved to Tennessee, where there is no oil. The Jazz moved to Salt Lake City, where they don't allow music. The Oakland Raiders moved to LA and then back to Oakland. No one in Los Angeles seemed to notice. The search for greener pastures went on unabated. Continued expansion diluted the talent pool, forcing owners to recruit heavily from prisons, mental institutions, and Texas. Fist fighting and brawling permeated every sport, overshadowing any athletic competition. As the problems mounted, the fans became less and less interested. The spirit of athletic competition, however, indeed was not dead. Its seed merely lay dormant in the dreams of the young.
You know, Reamer, someday I'm gonna be a big sports star.
You know, Reamer, someday I'm gonna own a big sports bar.
Hurry it up, Coop.
Hold on, I just gotta water the plants. Dude, I don't wanna go to a party with a bunch of losers from high school.
But dude, this is Brittany Kaiser's house and I really, really wanna fuck her.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
We graduated with Brittany.
You graduated?
Of course we graduated, cock beer.